Today on Maine Calling, the dire shortage of teachers in Maine. The state is facing a shortage of qualified teachers for pretty much every school subject: science, math, English, art, physical education, and more. Schools are resorting to less than ideal solutions, such as semi-permanent long-term subs, and some even having to cancel school days because there isn't enough staff. Next year, Maine will likely qualify for emergency hiring rules. That means schools could hire people without a teaching license. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will find out why it's so hard to attract and retain teachers and what measures are being taken to get educators into classrooms. Has your local school been affected by the teacher shortage? Has it affected your child or grandchild's education? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling On Demand is made possible in part by Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn how you can get involved at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. By Welch & Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth, from investments to trustee services. More at WelchForbes.com. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, supporting Maine island communities through education, health, and community engagement. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Teachers are in short supply in Maine. Today, we're going to learn why it's so hard to attract and retain teachers and what's being done to get qualified educators into classrooms. Joining me for this hour, Pender Macon, who is commissioner of Maine's Department of Education, and she worked before that as a teacher and principal. Also, Grace Levitt, president of the Maine Education Association, with more than 40 years of classroom experience as a Spanish teacher, and Dolly Sullivan, program director for the Maine Teacher of the Year program with Educate Maine. We invite you to join the conversation. Are you seeing the effects of the teacher shortage in your community? Send us an email, a brief email, please, talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Well, thank you all for joining us today. And Commissioner Macon, I'm going to ask you a few questions first. We have heard about teacher shortages for years, but it seems as though the situation is getting worse. Is that true? Is it becoming more of a crisis? And if you could characterize how bad the shortage is.
Well, yeah, I mean, the answer is complicated. The teacher shortage was a crisis prior to COVID in Maine and nationwide. The profession has been so denigrated over the years. I mean, there are just so many reasons playing into why we're seeing this situation. However, is it getting worse in Maine? It is. It appears to be getting worse nationwide. And I will say, a lot more is asked almost every year of our schools, and staff members need to be there to provide those additional pieces. And I think that's a thing that we have to factor in. But in general, the state of Maine has an uneven teacher shortage crisis. So there are communities and school districts who are really in dire straits when it comes to being able to properly staff with credentialed, experienced, high quality educators, staff their classrooms. And there are other schools and communities just down the road from those other communities where they're turning away dozens of applicants for similar jobs.
What's the difference?
I'm just going to say, the difference is the uneven way, I think, in which our schools are funded. The state of Maine provides a robust 55%, which earns us an A nationally in terms of the amount of funding that a state contributes to the local public schools. However, the local communities are responsible for the rest of that and anything above and beyond. And we have situations where, for example, Lewiston was training at their own expense a number of teachers of multilingual students. And so there's a special certificate to be able to work with kids who are multilingual. And in many cases, as soon as they were trained and certified, they went just a short way down the road to Brunswick, where they could earn as much as $20,000 more per year per teacher. So I think that contributes to the unevenness of our staffing situation. And all of those, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I understand it's hard to ask you the question, how many teacher vacancies there are in Maine, because the state does not track that. Is that true?
Yeah, it's almost untrackable. It would be such a burden on schools to provide the daily information in real time. I don't even think MEA is able to track it in real time. And maybe I'm wrong about that. But that is not one of the pieces that we collect in terms of routinely entered data. People are hired every day. People leave.
Right, right. So explain this. I've seen something reported in the papers and here on Maine Public that Maine will likely qualify for emergency hirings. What does that mean? What is that category, emergency hirings? How does Maine qualify for that? And what does that mean on the ground?
We do qualify, as do all of the states. They're able to provide what's called an emergency certification to individuals who don't have all of the credentials in place to be an educator. And in those areas where there are specifically identified shortages, that is one of the triggers that would allow an emergency certification to be issued to a person who is filling a critical role.
All right, Grace, I'm going to turn to you. Why is there such a shortage?
Well, first and foremost, I would say it is a matter of pay. As the commissioner just said, you see that in one district, they are providing that support in their budgets for better pay. And I would say it's not just teachers, it's all educators. I really want to emphasize it is our support staff who absolutely are essential in our schools, and huge shortages there as well, and really significant issues there in terms of the hourly wages for those employees not being sufficient for the job that they are expected to do. And so there is that issue. There is also the working conditions in terms of the workload when you're trying to stretch yourself to cover for those vacancies that aren't filled. It's really tough, and it takes a toll on folks. And so we see people leaving the profession, unfortunately.
Yeah, Grace, and I know anecdotally, my own kids are in their mid-20s, and they have told me about friends who are leaving teaching because they cannot afford to live. They cannot afford to live on what they're being paid. I've heard this a few times. I'm wondering, do you think this is affecting dozens, hundreds, thousands of young teachers?
So we're even hearing about some of our students that go into the education programs, teacher prep programs, that and then decide not to become educators because of the fact that the starting pay is very low. We call it the teacher pay gap. It's in about 77%. So someone with a comparable degree, comparable expectations, earns that much more than earns 23% more than somebody going into the teaching field. So certainly pay is really critical. And then you've also got student loans and things like that when you're starting off. So there is that, but it's also a question of retaining. We have so many of our educators that have second jobs and some even third jobs in order to make ends meet and provide for their families. And that's just not right. So again, it goes to salaries and wages, but it is also the working conditions and the types of work that they need to do. And some of our students have such significant needs that it's very challenging. And so taken all together, it's hard to retain the qualified educators that we want in our schools for our kids. The ones that are there are doing a great job and working really hard, but it's really impacting and increasing the shortage.
Well, and I'll turn to you for that, Dolly. Grace said, the ones who are there are doing a great job. Paint a picture of how all this translates into the classroom. Does this shift the burden to the teachers that remain? Are we seeing lots and lots of long-term subs? What does it look like in some of these schools?
So we are very fortunate. We've received some funding from the Maine Department of Education and the USDOE, and most recently the John T. Gorman Foundation, to go around the state and talk to teachers. And we've actually we're coming up on our 18th focus group, and we're talking to teachers all across the state. And what we're asking them is, what brought you to teaching? What keeps you here? How do we get more people to come into the profession? And what supports do you need along the way? How do we keep them there once? How do we keep people in the classroom once they're there? And what we have learned from these conversations is very enlightening. And the fact that teachers want everything that Grace has just talked about. It is pay. It is retirement. We're saying now that recruitment is the new retention. We have to support those who are in. Things are, we've talked about this looming shortage for years. It's not looming, it's here. Our kids feel it, our teachers feel it every day in the classroom. But I think that we've also learned that teachers, those who are in the classroom are committed to stay there. What they're seeing is what they're telling us that they need more rigorous and relevant professional development. They need support, mental health support, as though their students need mental health support. We've even talked about things as simple as reforming the windfall elimination provision. It is, how do we get career changers to come into teaching if they're going to not get their Social Security? That's a huge issue. And, housing and childcare. But it is, those who are in the classroom are doing just the very best they can. And we need to support them. We need to invest in Maine's educator workforce.
Dolly, I'm going to pick out one thing you just said, and you said childcare. Are there any schools that are trying to do creative things, like provide childcare on site or something like that?
There
I'm not aware, but I see.
Yep. Oh, so Grace, sorry. You know that there are. Yeah, go ahead, Grace.
A few that I've heard of, and there's certainly been conversations about that. I mean, that would be a huge help to our educators to have that. Our state needs this. All of our people that work in our state need childcare. We know that is important, especially quality early childhood education. We know how important that is for our students. It's really critical. And so we need to be doing more in our state, in our country.
And one thing that's especially,
yeah, go ahead.
Especially great is we have several CTE programs who do provide childcare for staff and also provide early childhood education for their students in the same setting right
and
there.
And CTE so is?
Career and technical education programs across the state are offering those types of kind of a grow your own free education. Pre-service education that starts in high school for many of those kids.
That's right. So let me ask you, Pender, I asked Dolly and Grace about childcare. What are some other innovative approaches and solutions underway? I know that we're not just complaining. We're trying to figure this out. What kind of things are you seeing around the state that are working?
Right. Well, I can tell you from the Department of Education's perspective, we partnered with Live and Work in Maine to create a nationwide outreach and have, I think we had in our first 6 months of that program, 2,000 out-of-state people apply for jobs in Maine and referencing some of those really innovative advertisements. We also are, for innovative things, we have the Teach Maine plan that has several strategies that can be followed the recommendations for schools to really recruit, but also to retain educators. We've created a statewide job board. So there's a one-stop shopping place for people to go who want to come and work in the education workforce in our state. And we have engaged with the university system and with the community college system to create pathways to certification, including teacher apprenticeships, where people are earning their wages as educators in a classroom and who are being carefully and meticulously mentored. And all of that is rolling into a degree and the certification requirements. We also came up with the program called Learning Facilitators. And this is a pathway into being an education technician. So you can get into a classroom and be supporting the work of educators under the guidance and mentorship of other educators while also receiving important skills and knowledge through the community college system. And those are just a few examples. We have a lot of efforts underway.
Grace.
Yeah, I would just add to that. Yes, all those things are certainly great programs. I just want to mention one particular one, the Maine Teacher Residency Program, that's completing its second year and going into a third year, funded by grants. But again, it has somebody working and earning pay in school districts while they are taking their education courses, being mentored. The mentors are being paid through the grant and also being trained as mentors. And so having that support, especially for people entering the profession, is absolutely critical in terms of the long-term retention, as well as doing our best for kids. But also, student teachers they're paying tuition, they're working in schools, not being paid for that, and then have a job where they're trying to, earn their keep as well. So it's really, hopefully we are working to change that model going forward so that that support is there, and that will help a lot as well in terms of recruiting and retaining.
Dolly.
Yeah, thank you. As I mentioned, we're talking to teachers around the state, and those conversations will inform the development of the Teach Maine Center. Kendra just talked about the Teach Maine plan. And it is, what we are hearing is that, and we've even talked to pre-service teachers, and a paid student teaching is one of the things that they talk about. And what we're also seeing is that teachers around the state want to have more student teachers, access to more student teachers. And there are some areas of the state, really there's a desert, to have, they don't get student teachers. And so I think that that's, another thing that really we have to think about. But it's also so important that we think about, cultivating these high quality alternative pathways that Grace was talking about, and to think about how we're going to grow our own teachers, because the research tells us that many teachers are teaching in the schools they either went to or it's within 35 to 50 miles of where they grew up. And so what can we do to get those people into the teaching profession? And I think that's something that we really have to look at.
And another thing, Dolly, that I think you and the Educate Maine team and the Teach Maine Center project, they're great partners for us at the Department of Education in kind of reprofessionalizing a profession that was decimated for a couple of decades, actually. The morale of teachers, the public opinion of our public education programs and systems, and the amount of just distrust and professional degradation that has fallen on these amazing, courageous, creative professionals with whom we trust the most important work of our society. And so as a department, we're really working all the time to give opportunities for educators to shine and to show what they're doing to really change that messaging. And we have great partners here with Grace also and Dolly.
We are talking about Maine's teacher shortage on Maine Calling. We do need to go to a break. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or post on Facebook or Instagram. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Why are we seeing a teacher shortage in Maine, and how is it affecting schools? We are learning what the state and others are doing to try to find solutions. With me, Grace Levitt, president of the Maine Education Association and a high school Spanish teacher. Dolly Sullivan, director for Educate Maine's Maine Teacher of the Year program. And Commissioner Pender Macon with the Maine Department of Education. She is a former teacher and principal. You can share your comments and questions. You can send an email, a brief email, please, to talk@mainepublic.org. Comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. I'm going to go to an email from Marie. Marie writes, 6 years ago, I moved from upstate New York and have wanted to teach since the move. I find it so frustrating listening to all the talk about shortages when Maine does not honor reciprocity from a state such as New York without additional coursework, a hefty fee, and a cumbersome online process. She says, has certification reciprocity ever been talked about? And if not, why not? Pender.
So reciprocity is actually a thing right now, and reciprocity is available for all of the education teaching areas that are listed on our shortage list. And the additional courses that are required are not in the control of the Department of Education. We have to implement the laws and the rules, Chapter 115, which is in the, it's the purview of the state's Board of Education. And so they do require a couple of additional courses, but it shouldn't be prohibitive. And the extent to which navigating the online system is a challenge, we do encourage people to reach back out, please, because our team is working really hard to be responsive and to make this a well-facilitated process to come from another state with a teaching certificate and to get right into a classroom as soon as possible. And those courses can be taken over a period of time.
So the reciprocity, you said, in certain subjects, what are those subjects?
Well, it's quite a list. Let me see if I can pull it up. it's the entire shortage list. And so it's, I know it's general elementary education. Sorry, I've got five things.
Is it easier to say what's not on the list?
Yeah, well, I don't even think I could. I think almost everything is on the list right now.
I think physical education is the one that's not on the list.
I think it is. Let me see if I can find. Sorry about that. I should have had that tab open because I do have it.
That's okay. I'm sure you have lots of tabs. But you would encourage Marie, even if she's reached out in the past, to reach back out again and contact someone directly.
Yes, please, Marie. We need to. So please reach back out to the department. And you can put something in the subject line that you've tried before and you're trying again to access reciprocity.
Great. And so I'm going to go to an email from Barbara. I know you all mentioned this again, but this is coming up for a few emails here. Could you have your panelists speak more about the disincentive people late in their careers face when considering a switch to teaching? I would love to work the schedule of a teacher, but I cannot see giving up my decades of paying into Social Security. So my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, and this is what you all were talking about when you were talking about the windfall provision, is that one must, if you have a public job, one must choose between that public pension and Social Security, but cannot collect both. Is that accurate, Grace? Is that what people are facing?
So once you're vested in Maine Public Employees Retirement System, you are in that retirement system. And so when you do then decide to retire, there's a formula. You have to check with Social Security to see what the impact would be on what Social Security benefits you might still have. The Social Security will be offset depending upon all sorts of things like how much you would be getting from the retirement system. There's also the government pension offset. So that's the spousal benefit. So you would lose that. And so again, it is something that is a federal law that MEA and NEA have worked for years to try to have fully repealed. And there are bills right now in Congress, in both the House and Senate, that would fully repeal those Social Security offsets. And so we've got our congressional delegation is always on board and co-sponsors those bills. It's other states where we've got to be sure that something's moving forward.
And so ask you this, Grace, because every time I moderate a political debate, every time we do, I mean, there's so many different times in which this topic comes up for conversation. It's been something that has been frustrating for people for years. Why is this not changed? What is the reason that other congressional delegations, other people in Congress say?
Well, I think the misinformation is that only 15 or so states are impacted, which is just not true. It's really every state. So we have people in every state who will be impacted one way or another, whether they've moved from a state that has the direct most significant impact or they are in other professions. It also affects other public employees. It's not just teachers. And so again, it really is a question of people understanding that and understanding how devastating the impact is when people are retiring. And so that is something that absolutely has to be fixed. It would certainly help a lot. And again, those educators who are here and in the system and have those second jobs, they're paying into Social Security with those second jobs. And so if the pay were higher for their jobs in education, they wouldn't need those second jobs. And their retirement would be higher as well. So it's really something that we need to be sure we're addressing going forward.
Dolly.
I want to build on that because we have talked to teachers around the state, we were hearing just sad stories, horror stories from one teacher in Washington County, teaching for 38 years, had to have summer jobs and paid into Social Security. Her husband works at a local mill, and is ill health. And so she will not, if he passes before her, she will not get his Social Security. And will only get a very small portion of hers, if any. And this is, so it's impacting our current educators, but it's also impacting those we want to encourage to come into the profession. And as Grace said, Senator King, Senator Collins, all on board. We talk about it every year with them, and they're doing their very best. I understand, and maybe Grace can confirm this, that is, I think it's the Social Security Fairness Act, and it seems that there is a little bit, we're getting a little bit closer this year. So we've had teachers around the state writing letters to the Ways and Means Committee that this really needs to change.
I'm going to go to Annie, who's calling from Dexter. Hi, Annie, go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I hope you can hear me because I'm on the road. Can you
Yeah,
hear
we
me
can.
okay?
Yes.
Great. I'm a retired teacher who's been working in my local districts, and I've taught for about 48 years. I think I've got a pretty good reputation, but my certification is ending this year, and I looked into how to recertify, and it's very, very expensive, and it's very laborious. My question to the panel is, for retired teachers where they're wanted back in their districts, whether it's a long-term sub or support staffing, what options are there that are easier, quicker to get that certification back? Thank you so much.
I'll turn to you, Pender.
Well, we would love to work with that person if you can capture the contact information and our team will reach out directly. I know that we have proposed multiple, our team has proposed multiple pathways that would be innovative that would assist retired teachers in retaining or regaining their certification and fast tracking people certainly who have had that experience in their lives. Also, honoring lived and work experience for people mid-career who might be entertaining the idea of becoming an educator. And we're going to need the Department of Education and Educate Maine. I know everybody has been working on pitching these great alternative pathways and innovative approaches, but the decisions do rest with the state board and with the legislature. They would have to approve these programs. And thus far, we will continue. We will never stop lobbying great new pathways out there, and hopefully, at some point, we'll be successful in getting those supported in law. But
Right. And I wish that we
oh.
had someone with the State Board of Education with us now, but Pender, I'm sure you work with them. Is there any appetite on the State Board for changing some of these regulations?
I think it's mixed. They have a special certification committee that meets fairly regularly, and I do hear from the field. And I can't say that I really can't speak for
Okay. Well, if someone's with the State Board of Education and could call into Maine Calling, that would be really terrific. I'll put that out there right now if you're listening right now. I'm going to go to Jeff on Facebook who writes, I'm a photographer and artist, published and collected worldwide. I have an MFA from Pratt Institute. I live in Cherryfield. Can I get a job close to home? Grace.
No, I would just say it ties in with what Pender was just talking about as well, what the commissioner was saying. It's really a balance of being sure we've got qualified people in our schools that can work with our students. It is, of course, content knowledge and expertise and experience there as well. But there's a lot more to teaching than I think meets the eye for a lot of folks. And we want to be sure that there are classroom management skills, that they know the pedagogy, they understand that age of children as well. And so we want to be sure not to have it be so restrictive that we're keeping people out who would be qualified, but that we also are having alternative pathways that really lead to expertise that people need to have developed in order to be qualified educators. And I just want to quickly mention it. It's Senate Bill 597 and House Bill 82 are the Social Security Fairness Acts. If people want to contact people in other states to contact their senators and representatives, that'd be great.
Great. I'm going to go to an email from Kristen. I am an admissions officer and have lived in Maine for 22 years. One major factor contributing to the teacher shortage is our low number of college graduates. While Maine ranks very high for the number of students graduating from high school, close to 90%, the numbers of students going on to four-year colleges is less than 40%. How can we expect to grow our teacher workforce if so few of our students are graduating from four-year colleges? And the 40% going to college aren't necessarily staying in Maine for college, and many of those who do are choosing other majors. We might consider an interesting solution like getting education majors into the workforce earlier, maybe by accepting dual enrollment credits. One university in Ohio has created the Teach Now program. So does somebody know about the Teach Now program? Is this being discussed?
So Dolly. We have, I'm not particularly familiar with that, but we have been doing some benchmarking in other states, in Arizona and South Carolina. And there are states who that are utilizing the Grow Your Own with a teacher cadet and program in South Carolina, where they, they start in high school, and they, it's like an apprenticeship leading to teachers. We have some pretty unique programs going on in Maine right now in Westbrook, and Heather Perry and Gorham has been working on a teacher apprenticeship program. And so I think that the positive thing there is that we are, Maine is really is doing some great things and trying to grow and support the workforce. And I think one of the things that we have to do something about the certification process, because that we are hearing that it's costly and confusing. But we can also support these people by helping them navigate. And so that's one of the things that the Teach Maine Center is thinking about. Is that something that we could do to support potential educators? Because one of the things that we've also done is we have a snapshot of the educator workforce in Maine. And one of the most glaring data points for me is that 10% of our teachers are between the age of 20 and 29, 10%. Whereas, and I think that, so they're most 27% are in the, between the ages of 40 and 49. But so we really need to focus on growing this workforce and supporting them.
And a note from my producer, the emailer we read just a little bit ago was talking about a Teach Now program in Ohio, and this is Ohio Wesleyan. It's an accelerated teacher licensure pathway. Yeah. It provides high school students who've earned an associate degree at Columbus State a way to become a licensed K-12 teacher. They can get their bachelor's degree and their teacher certificate in as little as 2 years. So I'm going to turn to David from Freeport. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. You've already covered this fairly well, and I just wanted to add that I served in the Maine legislature, and this was an issue, the issue of people who, say, retiring from the military, perhaps even having been teaching in military service for years, they were disincentivized to join and teach in Maine, because once they start becoming vested in the MEPR system, the Maine retirement system, they lose benefits. And it's critical that I think, Jennifer, you asked why other states don't get it. And because their systems do not have a separate retirement system. And so it's going to cost money to change the system. And people, legislators from other states, don't understand how it is impacting their own educational system.
I see, David. So what you're saying is in other states, teachers are already receiving Social Security, so there's not a difference when they switch.
There's not a benefit to those states to help us to change this disincentive. It's going to cost all taxpayers money to rectify this. And so we really need, as I think the educators on your panel have said, we need every state, to the teachers in those states and parents and educators, everyone, to put pressure on their legislators, their congresspeople, to make this change. It's going to be an uphill battle, but it's a really important one.
David, thanks so much for calling and adding that perspective. We do need to take another quick break. We're talking about the teacher shortage in Maine. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Our topic today, Maine's shortage of qualified teachers and why the situation is so dire right now. What can be done to help? Joining me, Dolly Sullivan with Educate Maine, Commissioner Pender Macon with the Department of Education, and Grace Levitt with the Maine Education Association. You can join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or post to our Facebook page or to Instagram. We're going to go to Chris, who's calling from Farmington. Hi, Chris. Go ahead. Chris, are you there? Chris in Farmington? Oh, you know what? Here we go. Try that again. Chris, go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sorry, that was my fault. Go ahead.
No problem. Yeah, I'm the superintendent of the schools for RSU-9, and this is a hugely important topic. And I have to say that several efforts have been made with the State Board of Education, and the changes that are needed have not been made. We are in a dire situation, and I don't think people realize the gravity of it. It's very difficult to find people all around the state. I don't care if it's Kittery or Fort Kent, Farmington or Ellsworth. And we really need to be thinking of this topic differently. I think the state board obviously wants to keep quality as an important piece, but we need to be figuring out new ideas of how we get quality, how we allow people to intern, how we change some of the standards of who we can accept from other states. The department has, as the commissioner mentioned, put out several ideas, and unfortunately, the state board and the legislature, in my opinion, has not made enough changes, and this is only going to get worse, and I'm afraid it's going to really hurt public education.
Mm. Chris, thank you so much for calling with your perspective. And Grace Levitt, I see you nodding while Chris is talking.
Well, again, it's a question of balance. If it were any other profession, and we do have shortages in other professions, medical field, you wouldn't want alternative pathways there that didn't fully prepare people for those positions. So I totally understand that there may be some more changes that might be needed, but we want to be sure we're still having quality, qualified peer people in our schools working with our students. And so that support is really critical. MEA, I'm going to put a plug in for MEA. We support our early career educators. We connect them and really do what we can to be sure their needs are met so that they stay in the profession. And early career, whether they're new, young to the profession or changing careers and entering the profession, that's really important. As well as one other thing we haven't mentioned, and that's our educators who are of color and may be the only one in their district, and they need that community around them as well. So MEA, again, is working to help provide a network for those educators to feel supported and not feel isolated, which is really, you know, something that is true about our state. It's a big state. And so if you're the only one in your district like you, and our students need that diversity as well, the population's changing. So again, we do what we can to network and provide that support so that we can keep these great people in our schools.
Chris, I'm so glad you called in, and I love hearing from a superintendent. I want to ask what you're doing in your district. Do you have a lot of long-term subs? Have you had any days where you've had to cancel school?
We have not had to cancel school, knock on wood. And as Grace said, there are concerns in all areas. We have hired long-term subs. We've also done, you know, with our people who retire and rehire. You know, next year we'll have seven or eight teachers who have retired and that we can, you know, we will rehire because we can't find people. And that is something that we're fortunate to have. But, you know, when it comes to training and quality.
Oh, shoot, Chris, something clearly technical happened and we lost him. So I appreciate, Chris, if you can hear me, that you called in today. An email here from Lee. I think an important factor that has not been mentioned is the increasing number of educational standards and testing that are being implemented in our schools. Teachers have lost the ability to use their own creativity and passion to engage with their students. I think this makes teaching much less fulfilling. Pender Macon, Lee is not saying anything that you have not said before as well.
I could not agree more. And I think it's a bigger problem nationally than what we're seeing here in the state of Maine. All things taken here, we're in a teacher shortage and we have been for a number of years, but we are working so hard to change that culture and to make sure that school leaders don't feel like middle management, but rather are actually visionary leaders, and that educators in the classroom are the expert practitioners who use their professional judgment and are trusted by the community every day. And I think it'd be important for me to put out there that we just announced 16 amazing new County Teachers of the Year in partnership with Dolly and Educate Maine. And to hear them talk about their profession would be the advertisement we need. They are joyful, fulfilled practitioners who are respected and who are able to do that. And we've tried to create that culture at Department of Education and not to be the top-down mandate driving department, but rather to build from the field the expertise that already exists there and to reawaken the understandings that a teacher's eyes and observation are a finely tuned assessment instrument, and that we have extreme talent in our classrooms every single day.
Well, Dolly, Pender just queued you up.
We are a good team, let me tell you. You know, it is, that is building on what Pender said, and we're so thankful for this investment that they have made in the Teach Maine Center, because exactly what she said is we have to give teachers voice in their profession. They are the professionals, and we believe that the Teach Maine Center is going to be a game changer for Maine in promoting and elevating and empowering the profession and the professionals in it. And the other thing that really is important is that there are many things that make teaching attractive in Maine, and we have to do that positive storytelling and build a community and bring communities into schools, because there are great things going on in Maine schools. Teachers are doing amazing things for their students. And, you know, I think that that's the thing. We have to share those positive stories, and the department does a really good job with that. And, you know, and as we have this network of county and state teachers of the year and education leaders around the state. And so we have the good fortune of having that network to call upon to share those stories. And so I think that's important, that it is this sense of community. And one of the things that one of the, you know, many that is said, you know, much of what is said in the focus groups is that the purpose and meaning of teachers, the ability to shape a student's life, that's what keeps them, and that is what attracts them to this profession. And so I think that is, you know, there are some really good things going on, and I think that's worth saying here. We have so many great teachers in Maine.
We'll go to Joanne calling from Naples. Hi, Joanne, go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. I'm calling to find out how we can help as a nurse. I have always seen the similarities between the nursing shortage and the teacher shortage. I mean, both groups are committed, and yet they don't get the full support of the public. Reciprocity is a huge issue that nursing has addressed. And also, I'd like to know if the Senate committee that's headed up by Senator Bernie Sanders, the Health, Education, Pension, and Labor Committee, would be the best place to direct support letters. I know he's an advocate for both improving health care opportunities for both in healthcare and in education.
Joanne, thanks. Grace, who would you recommend Joanne and others write letters to if they want to do so?
Everybody and anybody, really, but especially their senators and representatives in other states, especially about the Social Security offsets. Certainly, encourage your family and friends that live in other states to do that. And I would just add, as far as support from our communities, another thing that's really important is school budgets are being voted on now, and we need to be sure those budgets are being passed, or this is just going to even make things incredibly difficult for our schools and for our students and educators. MEA certainly does a lot to support educators, and you use the word empower there, Dolly, as well. Absolutely. Educator voice is so important in the work. The folks in our schools, they're the experts, and we need to be listening to them. And unfortunately, that hasn't happened as much as it needs to, but we will keep moving forward on that. But again, hopefully communities are supporting their school budgets.
Joanne, thanks for your call. We have an email here from Claire. Claire writes, new teachers don't make a lot. The statewide starting minimum is $40,000, but many towns pay more. Hugely important in addition to pay is having school and summer vacations and doing work that is meaningful and important. I think teaching gets talked down too often. A bit of reframing might be in order. And Dolly, this is what you were saying.
It is. When I hear people say that teachers teach 9 months a year, try to schedule a meeting with a teacher in the summer. And it's impossible because they are doing professional development and, you know, in going to conferences and in upskilling and reskilling. And it is, we do have to reframe that. We have to change the rhetoric around education. And I think Pender, you know, mentioned earlier on, you know, there is a politically motivated movement to undermine public education. And we have to counter that. And I think that we're doing a good job. And the way that we do that is to empower and elevate the voice of teachers. And we're fortunate at Educate Maine that we're a business education partnership, and we have the support of the business leaders who understand and get to hear directly from teachers. And I think that's important too, to have that type of partnership with Maine's business community.
An email here from Mark. We will only solve these problems if we're open and honest about what they are. Teachers know what it's like, and they are actively discouraging young people from going into the profession. Teachers are increasingly loaded down with duties, lunch, getting students in the morning at the end of the day, that administration once held. Likewise, professionals are being asked to substitute rather than do their jobs. I know one high school librarian who was asked to sub 220 times in a year before she quit her job. It's not just heartbreaking. It's sabotaging our future.
And all of those things are valid and true for many of the educators in our state, but there are so many joyful, fulfilled, well-supported educators who love their jobs and are so busy doing them that they aren't out there, you know, having their voices heard. And so we're hopeful that the Teach Maine Center will create a place for those cohorts of folks who are energized and excited about certain practices and who will be able to tell a more well-rounded story, because all of that is true. It is wonderful. It is very hard. It's well supported in some places and it is not in others. And I think that's the thing.
We just have a minute left and I want to go to this email. I'm not going to read it because we're in such a hurry, but he's talking about Connecticut's program that provides loan forgiveness for teachers. And there are programs like that in Maine, correct? Can somebody very quickly summarize what kind of student loan forgiveness program for public school teachers in Maine? Grace.
So there's public service loan forgiveness, certainly. And there's another one from, is it, I'm not sure the program exactly. Pender, do you know the name of the program? But I know that MEA has certainly, and NEA has been pushing for even more student loan forgiveness, as well as elevating the salaries and the wages for our educators. And MEA will keep advocating for that.
That, and in recent years, the Department of Education has used a lot of emergency funding to support paying for the courses for the teachers to become certified so they don't incur the debt in the first place. So we have several of those programs that are still underway.
All right. And Pender, very quickly, if somebody has heard this and wants to talk to your department about reciprocity or loan forgiveness or anything like that, what's the best number to call?
The best number to call would be 624-6600. And people should reach out to the Department of Education's certification team and also Chelsea Fortin Trimble, who is the Associate Commissioner overseeing Educator Support Services. And she actually texted me during this show to say, any of the folks who wrote or called in, if we can get their contacts, we're calling them back first thing tomorrow, and we're here to support you.
Great. Well, thank you all for joining us today. Pender Macon, the Commissioner of Maine's Department of Education, Grace Levitt, President of the MEA, and Dolly Sullivan, Program Director for Maine Teacher of the Year with Educate Maine. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you have been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.